Bibles then to 1 Kings 8. The text is found in verse 38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and do and forgive to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Now the text speaks of a plague. And we know somewhat of the meaning of the plague, but I don't think that we will ever understand the impact that the plagues used to have on people. Now a plague may be defined as a malignant, contagious disease that is usually fatal. And of course, the moment that we think of it, our minds turn back to the Black Plague or some of those plagues that swept the world in historical times. In Constantinople, in A.D. 543, it is said that 10,000 people died in one day from the Black Plague. Now, the physicians said that this disease was most remarkable in this way. They said, bring the best physicians and examine the patients early in the morning, and they would be as well that any doctor would pronounce them in the very prime of health. And they could eat their dinner and eat a hearty dinner and enjoy it with their friends in this world, but before supper time, they would dine in the next world from the Black Plague. That's how it came on the people. It is said that 30% of the people of London died in the 1600s from the Black Plague. And we have often heard the little poem that the children sing about the roses. They say, ring around the roses, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, all fall down. And that got its start during the bubonic plague in London, so I'm told. And what they thought was, they didn't know how this disease was carried. They thought it was carried by the breath, like tuberculosis. And so they thought that flowers would cast away or take away these odors, and therefore they would carry flowers. And they said that a man that was picking up the dead was singing this little ditty. And that's how it got started. And what they did, they would go down the street, and they would stop in front of the house, and they'd say, bring out your dead. And so many people were dying that they would just carry them out and put them on the cart, and they'd go on down the street to the next house. Now, we don't know much about that kind of a plague today, but here in the text we read that there was such a thing as a plague, and this is the plague that we want to notice today. Now notice that he says, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. Now the plagues that we're talking about that come in of disease and so forth are plagues of the body. And they can waste away a whole population. But this plague is a greater plague, far greater than any of these which have swept the earth. And it's the plague of all plagues. It's the plague of the heart. It's the plague of the main part of man. The body is just the external. The body is passing away. The body is temporary, but the spiritual part of man is eternal, and that's where the plague is. And that's what God was talking about in the Scriptures when He revealed it, and that's what Solomon was praying about. He was praying about the most important part of man, which is the soul, the heart. The very essence of a man is his inner being. It's not the body. The body can suffer. We can lose part of the body or lose it all. We can suffer in death. But if we lose the heart, we've lost it all. Now, what is the plague of the heart? Well, the plague of the heart is the depravity of the heart. And we're talking here about total depravity. That is that there is no good in the heart of man. None whatsoever. And that's what Solomon was praying about. And he said, every one of these that knows the plague of his own heart. And so I'd ask you the question this morning in the outset. Do you know the plague of your heart? Do you really know what it is that troubles you, that keeps you from being what you ought to be, keeps you from what God says you must be in order to enter into His presence in peace? Do you know what it is? Do you know the plague of your heart? Now, the plague of the heart is depravity, it's deceitfulness, and in a word, spiritual death. We are dead to the good. We're dead to righteousness. We're dead to spiritual things, but we're most alive to that which is evil. That which is contrary to the law of God, we go out for like a magnet does to iron. That's what he's talking about here in the text when he says, every man that knows the plague of his own heart. Now in Jeremiah 17 and 9, this is a famous passage. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? No man in and of himself is able or capable or competent to know the plague of his own heart, only as God reveals it to us. In fact, I perfectly believe that if God should give us a revelation of our own heart without sustaining grace, it would crush us. He says in the next verse, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to his doing. We read in Proverbs, the 4th chapter and 23rd verse, that out of the heart are the issues of life. And there's where the problem is. There's where spiritual death occurred. And that's why we cannot be and we cannot do what we ought to do. It's because we suffered spiritual death. Now, the first thing that we should note then in studying the plague of plagues is, how did this come upon us? How did it happen that we are plagued in the heart? How did we get it? Is it something that we did? Is it something that somebody else did? How did we get this plague of the heart? And it may surprise you when you think about it that the plague of plagues came from God. Because God said yonder when he put man in the garden, when he put Adam and Eve there and he made everything beautiful, he made everything right. He made everything what it ought to be. He made everything what they wanted and what they needed. But he said, there's a tree in the garden that you're not to touch, that you're not to eat. The tree of knowledge and of good and of evil. And in the day that you eat of it,
you shall surely die.
Or dying thou shalt die. And you know something? Adam and Eve ate of that tree in the garden. And I've had people say, well, they didn't die. The Bible says that Adam lived 930 years. And he did. But you know what he lived? He lived a death. Because he died the moment that he sinned. Because God smote the spiritual nature and sent the plague into his heart and sent it into Eve's heart. And it passed on to every one of us, so that death has passed upon all men. We're all in the midst of this plague. Every one of us. You cannot escape it. You're not overlooked. You didn't somehow get under the fence and get somewhere else. You got it. Every human being that was born naturally received the same plague that Adam and Eve got. The plague of the heart. So it came from the Lord. The second thing is, only the Lord knows the remedy or knows how to heal the plague of the heart. And it's important for us to get that through our minds because the world is filled with people that think they can cure the plague of the heart. You recall how it was with Christian when he left the city of destruction in the Immortal Pilgrim's Progress. He met several that thought they could help him out. And they tried. And you can go today, you can go to psychology. And you can go to psychologists. And you can go to all kinds of physicians. But when you get through, you'll walk out with the plague. My brother told me the story of he went to a healing campaign one time. And he said there was a little girl that was crippled that lived in the little town where he lived and where this campaign was at. And he said they claimed they healed that little girl. And there was great shouting. And he said the saddest sight that he ever saw in his life was after everything had all died down. He said he was out in his car and he looked down the railroad track. And there went that little girl, limping just as she had limped when she went in. That's what the world can do for you. That's what psychology can do for you. That's what the physicians can do. And I'm sad to say, but that's what a lot of preachers are doing too. They're crying peace when there is no peace. Only God can heal the plague of the heart. Now, how does he do it? Well, the first thing that God does in healing the plague of the heart is he makes us to feel it. You can never be healed of the plague of the heart until you know you've got it. Notice that Solomon prays, and he says here, which shall know, by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. And if you don't know it, you hadn't been healed of it. You cannot be healed until you recognize what you got. Because there's no reason for you to ever go to the great physician so long as you think you're whole. Jesus said that those that are whole have no need of the physician. And you're not going to go to Jesus Christ to get healed as long as you think you're all right. It's when you begin to feel the plague. When you know you've got it. When you feel that the disease is biting your own body. Then you go to the doctor, not until. And that's the way it is with the soul. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the balm of repentance and faith so that we're able to repent toward Him and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a part of the healing of the plague. And the cure is begun only when God breaks the heart. In Psalm the 34th division, David talks about this very thing. And in the 17th verse, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. And so when God breaks the heart, then He's beginning to do the work. And that's what's wrong with modern evangelism, that it begins to heal before it wounds. It begins to cry life before there's ever been death discovered. You cannot work the healing of God in that manner. It must go in God's order, or it's no order. You know, there's so many things in life. You do it out of order, it doesn't work. You do it in the wrong manner, and it doesn't turn out. You've got to do things according to the right manner. And when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, this is where so many have gone wrong, in my estimation. They've begun to cry peace, peace, where there is no peace. The great physician doesn't heal this plague all at one time. Now, that's a mystery. I know there are great numbers that say when you get healed of the plague of the heart, you're totally healed. You never sin anymore. You're going to walk on a higher plane so that you don't have to touch this old sinful world like the rest of people do. Isn't that what they say? Is that true according to the Word of God? I tell you, it's not true. It is not true. It is not true to experience. It's not true to the Bible. And if you're honest with your own heart, you know that it's not true according to your experience. You may not know about anybody else, but you know about yours. If you know the plague of your heart, you know you don't live above sin. There isn't any such thing. Jesus Christ was the only perfect person on this earth. There'd never been another one. Adam was perfect before he fell, but not as perfect as Christ. Christ was more perfect than Adam was. Now, we still have flare-ups from this plague of the heart. And that's what Solomon had no need to pray this prayer if there wasn't some ongoing problems. If there hadn't been, if it was this thing where that once you're healed of that plague, you never have it anymore, Solomon hadn't need to pray like he prayed. Listen to what he's saying here in the text. He says, if there be any of these things, and he mentions them, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive him. And do and give to every man according to his ways. Now notice the 45th verse, which we have not read. And hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause if they sin against thee. You say, well, some do, but most don't. There are some people that sin, but it's not God's purpose, it's not God's plan, and it's not in God's program for men to sin. Is that what you think? Solomon didn't believe it. Listen to the next clause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sins not. In Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter and 20th verse, he says there's not a just man. And I take that to mean there's not a justified man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. They all sin. You sin. I sin. And there's not a man on the face of this earth that does not sin, but Jesus Christ did not sin. Now, they have flare-ups like malaria. If you've ever been in the tropics, you know what it's like to see people with the malaria. I've seen them with sleeping sickness. And I've seen them when they'd get over those things, but it'd come back on them and it'd take a hold of them and you'd think it was going to take them down again. I've seen people that were strong and robust and sleeping sickness would hit them, and in just a matter of weeks they'd look like a skeleton. I'd think they were going to die. And that just keeps reoccurring to some extent. Same thing happens with sin. Now, sin lives in the believer, but the believer doesn't live in sin. The believer may fall in sin, but he won't walk in sin. He may step in sin, but he won't wallow in sin. Sin may cling to the believer, but the believer won't cling to sin. Now that's what we read in the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul was certainly a notable Christian, wasn't he? And you know what he said? After he'd been a long time a Christian, he said, "I'm the chief of sinners." You know why? He knew about the plague of his heart. You know about the plague of your heart? If you know yourself, if God has been gracious to you and has revealed to you something of the plague of your heart, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, you don't know. You don't understand what I'm saying. Paul also said in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he wasn't looking anywhere but to Jesus Christ at the Lord's coming to have the final thing all wrapped up. Not going to get it in this world. Now, the next thing is that the gospel has no lasting effect where this plague is not known. Now, you can take gospel sermons by the thousand. I'm talking about scriptural, solid, doctrinal gospel sermons by the thousand. And you can spread it, broadcast it on the people from now on, and it will never have any effect where the individuals don't know the plague of their own heart. There's no gospel message that will ever go to the heart of a sinner until he has first seen the plague of his heart. Once you begin to feel the plague of your heart, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's the greatest news. It's the only news. And Christ is your only hope. And you see that. And you begin to reach out to it. But until the plague of the heart is recognized, it is impossible that the gospel should have any effect whatsoever, because the individual doesn't realize there's any danger. He thinks he's handling his life just right well all by himself, and he doesn't need God's help. But the moment we know the plague of our own heart, we begin to look out of ourselves, because we know there is no help within. So the gospel never has any effect where this plague is not known. Now, I want to give you just a couple of examples from the scriptures so that you can keep this clear. In the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his preaching circuit, met a young man in Luke, the 18th chapter and the 18th verse. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, and in one of the parallels it says, he came running to Jesus and fell down before him. Now, think about it for a moment. This was an ideal situation for the evangelist, wasn't it? Why, here come one, and he's ripe for salvation. That's what we're told. That's the idea that most people have. But listen, the rich young ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" How seldom do preachers or Christians in witnessing hear anybody say that? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? I don't hear anybody hardly that wants to talk about it in any way, much less say, "How do I get it?" But that's what he asked, wasn't it? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, you know what they would have done in most churches. They'd have said, "Get the baptismal tank filled. We've got one for sure. We've got him." But Jesus didn't. And you know why? Because as the great keeper of souls, he knew that the fallow ground of his heart hadn't been broken up. He knew that he didn't know the plague of his heart. And he said to him, "Why? If you want eternal life, keep the commandments." Will the law of God say? Of course not. Why did Jesus tell him that then? Because if you know the law of God in its spiritual impact, you know the plague of your own heart, because you know you can't keep it one moment of your existence. There's not a single one of us that has ever loved God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our being as ourselves. You've never loved God like that. You don't love Him that way today. Nobody does. Jesus Christ loved God as He should have been loved. But we don't. And so the Lord said to him, keep the commandments. Why, he said, all these I've kept from my youth up. Deceived. Deluded. He doesn't know the plague of his heart. Because if he'd known the plague of his heart, he'd have said, I cannot do it. It is impossible for me to keep it. I have tried, and I cannot reach the height of God's law. He requested the Lord to specify some of them. And so he did. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And so the Lord said, you lack one thing. Only one problem yet. Now what was he doing? Is this the way of salvation to tell a man he's got to give up everything he's got to go to heaven? Do you literally have to sell everything you've got to be saved? Is that the truth? No. But what was it? Jesus was showing him the plague of his heart. He was showing him that he didn't know his own condition. And he said, go sell everything you got and come follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. That's the truth. He would have. But he didn't do it. He said, no, I got too much. I got millions in the bank. I can't give that away. Why, I'd have to start out from scratch. I'd be a pauper again. I wouldn't be able to wear the fine suits that I wear. I wouldn't be able to drive a Rolls Royce anymore. Now, what was the Lord doing? Showing him that he didn't know the plague of his own heart. Another example, in the same chapter, was the Pharisees. And one particular one is listed here in the 18th chapter. And he went up to the temple to pray. Now, surely this man would be a saved man in most circles today. He would have been considered a church man. A good man. A moral man. He was a man that kept all of the externals of the law. But you know, the Lord didn't look on it that way. You know why? Plague of the heart had never been recognized by this individual. He went up there and he said, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men. I'm not like those that charge too much money, those that do the other things they do, or even like this publican who was a tax collector, IRS man. The Lord said he didn't go down to his house justified. You know why? He never knew what the plague of his heart was. He didn't have any need of the Lord. He just went up there to tell the Lord how good he was. You come here this morning because you're good, you're at the wrong place. It won't do you any good. When you go to the house of God because you're good, you don't get any good out of it. Because God is dealing with sinners, those that know the plague of their own heart. Do you know the plague of your heart? Have you actually looked down into your heart and said, oh, surely, that's not what's in me. But then as you live and as you experience, you find more and more that there's so much in you that you'd be ashamed for any of us to know what it is. That's the plague of the heart. And if you're honest, if God has given you any kind of a glimpse of what's in you, you know I'm telling you the truth. Let me turn to Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. The passage that I already mentioned. Jesus said to them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Marvelous thing about the gospel is, it goes right into the brothel, and it can bring out a monument of grace. It goes into the worst places on earth, and takes a hold of those sinners, reveals to them the plague of their heart, and causes them to cry out for mercy, and it's granted. It's given. Jesus Christ never turns away a broken-hearted sinner. You got a broken heart over your sin, Jesus Christ will receive you. He will never turn one away. Never one sinner found that He wouldn't take him. People say to me all the time, oh, you believe in these doctrines of election and predestination. But if I believed that, I just wouldn't preach any. Well, they just don't understand the Bible. That's all. Because those are the very things that makes it all come together. It's the working of God. And we preach the gospel. We preach that whoever comes to Jesus Christ shall be received. He never turns any away. But you've got to come with a broken heart. You don't receive if you don't come with a broken heart. These dry-eyed, aisle-walking, decision-making things, I don't have any time for it because I don't believe that it's of God. I don't find it in the Bible. More than once, people came to Jesus and they went away. Nicodemus was a good example. He come and he said, I know your teacher come from God. Nobody can do what you do if God wasn't with him. You know what Jesus said? Except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And as far as we know, Nicodemus went out a lost man because he didn't know anything about the plague of his own heart. Later, it appears that he was saved because he was one of those that helped to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. But he had to learn the plague of his own heart. Christ is never precious to the soul without this spiritual recognition of a plague of our heart. I remember what Peter said when the Lord said to them after so many had turned to go back and wouldn't follow the Lord anymore. And it was looking pretty slim. And we've seen that kind of thing in our own experiences, haven't we? When it just seemed like people turn and go away. And the more the world paints the glitter, the more that you will put things in the church that don't belong there, the more you can crowd the world in. But the more you turn it back to the gospel standard, which is that you've got to have a broken heart to come to know Jesus Christ, you'll find that they'll go away in a hurry. And that's what happened in the 6th chapter of the book of John. And Jesus turned to those disciples and he said, after the multitude had went away, will ye also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. But those things are never precious without a broken heart. You can't desire Jesus Christ. You can't see the worth of his death and his sacrifice and the shedding of his blood and God giving him up and pouring out his wrath on him if you don't see the plague of your own heart. There are so many examples in the scripture, but I don't want to take a lot of time. I remember the woman at the well. She came there, and she came without knowing the plague of her own heart. But the Lord began to probe. He began to prod her about these things. He began to ask her questions. And she finally said, I perceive that you're a prophet. You can understand too much about me unless you're a prophet. How can you know these things about me? Finally, she realizes that he is the Messiah, and she believes on him. And she goes away into the city, and she says, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Isn't this the Christ? You know, we need some conversions like that today. We need to see some of that going on in our churches today. Now, do you have the plague of plagues? Is your heart broken, contrite before God? The other evening at home, Trev asked me, he said, Grandpa, when you ask a question at church, how come we can't answer? And so I explained to him the nature of a rhetorical question, that I intend for you to think and answer in your heart. It is not an audible answer. It is not an answer that I wish you to answer publicly to me. But I do want you to ask and to answer in your own hearts these questions. Do I know the plague of my own heart with all honesty before God, on my knees, on my face before God? Do I know the plague of my heart? Have I really found out what Solomon was praying about here when he said that these that know the plague of their own hearts. Do you know it? Do you really know what the plague of your heart is? Christ Jesus is the only hope that we have when we see the plague of our own hearts. That's when God begins to reveal grace in us. This is how he does his work of grace in the soul. He does it by revealing to us what we are. And until he's knocked us down, as it were, off our feet, like he did Saul on the road to Damascus, we'll never know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ in saving power. He never reveals himself to anyone until they come to know the plague of their own heart. Now, I want you to beware of the home remedies. There are so many that teach today this kind of a thing. They teach that salvation in Jesus Christ only consists of a mental assent. It's the same kind of faith, they say, that I have when I take $25, if I've got it, down to the bank, and I give it to the banker, and he puts it in my account, and I have faith that that bank account is good and that that man will keep my money until I go back and call for it. That is not the faith of salvation. The faith of salvation is a God-given faith, and it comes from heaven. It isn't anything you've already got. It's something you're going to have to get from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gift of faith and repentance that God gives. Doesn't give it until He works in our hearts the need that we have of it. And there'll never be a saved sinner that will sing the praises of God in heaven but what he come to know the plague of his own heart. Now, Tom Dooley was a surgeon that went to Burma, I believe. And he told the story one time of how he had a man in the villages there where he labored. And he got his leg broke, and it was a compound fracture. The bone went out through the skin. And I don't know nothing about how they do that. But he told how that he carefully repaired the wound, put the bone back in place and set it and splint it and sutured up the wound and carefully wrapped it with sterile dressings, and only to go out in the morning to find that the local doctor had tore all the dressings off and had put cow manure on the wound. You say, that's horrible. It's unsanitary. It's terrible. And yet that's what's going on today. These false physicians are trying to heal the people of God with those kind of plasters. They're using home remedies. They're using things they've devised in psychology. They're using things that they have devised in evangelism classes, but they don't come out of the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, you can tell sinners they're saved. You can get them to pray the sinner's prayer from now until the coming of the Lord, and will never change a single heart if that heart hadn't been broken by sin and by God's grace. If you don't recognize the plague of your heart, you're never going to be able to see Jesus Christ. And all the words that you pray and all the things that you do will never do any good until you come to see what you really are in God's sight and see what Jesus Christ really is in God's sight. Then you're on good ground. Then you can go out to God in prayer. That's when the sinner can call on the name of the Lord. I believe those precious passages of Scripture. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's true. It's as true as God's throne is that. But it is not true if a parent says it. It is not true if an individual says it that has no feeling in his soul. If he has never recognized the plague of his heart, then he is never going to speak those words from the heart, and therefore there'll never be any good done. Plague of the heart. It's the plague of all plagues. If you've got the plague of the heart, and there are only two groups of people, those that have it and know it, and those that have it and don't know it. That's all there is. Everybody's got it. The only problem is most people don't know it. And it is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal this plague in our hearts, to make us see what we are by divine grace, and to show us the need that we have of Jesus Christ so that we can look out of our poor, defiled, sinful selves into the glory of Jesus Christ, into the purity, the wholesomeness, and the healing powers of Christ. And He can save and He can heal from the plague. And it is my prayer that God will deal graciously with every one of us, because this plague of plagues will take you down to hell if you aren't lifted up by the grace of God into heaven. May God bless each one of you, is my prayer.